the 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana. We greet you here today. You are tuned in to WGOD. God's always broadcasting. He's got a word for you today. It's going to come through his son, Jesus Christ, God the Son. And we're going to be in, well, this sermon I've entitled The Doctrine of the Second Mile. This is the last one in this little series here on the Sermon on the Mount. The bigger series was famous chapters of the Bible, and we got to Matthew 5 and just couldn't stop there. It's all one sermon. So this is the last installment of this, The Doctrine of the Second Mile, and we are in Matthew chapter 6. This is part 2. You're invited to one of our services. Love to see you tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. And we'll be looking at the famous love chapter of the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 6 o'clock Wednesday night, 6 to 7. You also can watch online if you're unable to attend, and that is by going to our Facebook page, Island Community Church. That'll turn on live right at 6 o'clock Wednesday night. But you guys are invited, regardless if you go to another church. If you don't have church Wednesday night, then I invite you to come by our church. We roll out the dry erase board. It's much more informal than a Sunday is. Look for your comments and questions, perhaps. So you're invited. We'd love to see you. This is going to be part 2 here coming up. IslandCommunityChurch.net's our website. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, which just has the sermons on there. Same name, Island Community Church. You can subscribe to the audio podcast as well, and that is under WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. It's on Spotify. It's in the Apple Store. You know, also here at the radio stations here on WMIE and WWBC, the new apps are done, and they're uploaded whether or not you have an Android or whether or not you have an iOS device, iPad, iPhone. You can now search for WMIE and our sister station WWBC, and they're brand new apps. They work great. We're working on the on-demand, which also works as well, so you can hear any one of the local programs here at the station or this one as well by going to the on-demand section of the app or listen live. So this is really great. If you guys have Apple CarPlay, you can do that this way. Okay, here we go. This is part 2, the last part of this message, The Doctrine of the Second Mile.
Verse 22, but I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother, some translations say without a cause, mine does, I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause will be in danger of the judgment. Uh-oh. You thought that murder was bad, that your mom and dad taught you around the campfire, and that how murder would condemn you. But Jesus says, but I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will face the same fate. See, he's now increased the guilty from 0.5% to like 99.5%. My Believer's Bible Commentary makes this observation. It says this. It says, with the words, but I say to you, Jesus institutes an amendment to the teaching on murder. No longer could a person take pride in having never committed murder. Jesus now says, in my kingdom, You must not even have murderous thoughts. He traces the act of murder to its source and warns against three forms of unrighteous anger. That's what we're going to see right here in these few verses here. He goes on, whoever says to his brother, Raca, Raca, will be in danger of the council. Raca, Raca, I'm not sure how to pronounce that. It means numbskull or empty head. Something you heard a lot of if you watched Mo Howard growing up, right? Numbskull. But he says, whoever says you fool will be in danger of hellfire. Now, not only have I said that, that's one of my favorite sayings. But me using it has a totally different meaning than someone in his day using it. Right, Lord? I hope. See, in Jesus' day, people used the word Raca, Raca, an Aramaic term meaning empty one, as a word of contempt and abuse. Those who use this epithet, those who use this epithet, were in danger of the council. That is, they were subject to trial before the Sanhedrin, the highest court in the land. Finally, to call someone a fool is the third form of unrighteous anger Jesus condemns. Here, the word fool does not mean, or it means more than just a dunce. It signifies a moral fool who ought to be dead. And it expresses the wish that he were dead. That's who he's addressing here. The word fool meant different than a joker on a deck of playing cards or a jester at a king's court. Words meant different things. But Jesus said, the one who utters such a curse is in danger of hellfire. Verse 23, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there you remember. Now, your gift to the altar, in modern day terms, is putting in something when Ron passes the offering plate around. That's what he's talking about. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the offering plate here, and when it comes around that you remember that your brother's got something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Speaks for itself, doesn't it? Don't even waste your time offering a gift to God that won't be accepted by God until you make things right with the person that you're holding a grudge against. Let me encourage you to do that. When you sow gifts here into this ministry, you're giving to God, not to the church. And God says, don't waste your time. I'm not going to accept that. You can read that in countless Old Testament books. Malachi, don't bring in your animals here. Even your governor won't take them. Don't give them to me. Isaiah, the same thing. Don't bring in tainted sacrifices here. Now here he's saying, don't even make an offering here, but go and make things right. After all that Jesus has done for you, dying on the cross, should you hold on to a grudge? No. Make things right first with your brother. Then come and make your offering. Then come and sow your gift. More on that when we get to the middle of chapter 6. Verse 27, in the topic of adultery, with the same outlook on it as all the other things we've just looked at. Verse 27. It says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, uh-oh, here it comes. He's going to floor them again with something that no one can keep. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Man, oh man. You know, I wonder how many people came back to the first church of the Nazarene the following Sunday. He probably cleaned house there. That's what John Hagee used to say, too. He said, if I ever had a real prophet that showed up here at my church, he would clean this house out in 15 minutes. And this church would be gone. There'd be no one left here the next week. If he ever had a real prophet come in. Because a real prophet would put your sins up here on the overhead. He leaves it there. Verse 29, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Cast it from you. Not the Sunday sermon they were imagining, probably, right? If your right eye causes you to sin, get rid of it. Pluck it out. Cast it from you. It is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than from your whole body to be cast into hell. They probably cringe the same way people cringe today when they hear the word hell. But Jesus taught and spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. Verse 30, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Get rid of it. It is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Maintaining an undefiled thought life demands strict self-discipline. Amen to that. Thus, Jesus taught that if any part of our body causes us to sin, it would be better to lose that part of your body during life rather than losing one's soul for all eternity. Are we to take Jesus' words literally? Was he actually advocating self-mutilation? The words are literal to this extent. If it were necessary to lose a part of your body rather than losing your soul, then we should gladly part with that member and part of our body. Fortunately, we don't have to do that, since the Holy Spirit empowers us to live a holy life. However, there must be cooperation and rigid discipline on your part. It's a two-way street. You still have to fight sin in your life to overcome this. Remember what God said to Cain? He said, sin is crouching at your door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. This is an ongoing fight for you and I to beat the tar out of sin. She laughs. That's it. See this? This is my... I'm going to beat the tar out of sin. It's an ongoing battle until we die. You can't just be saved once and then... It's an ongoing fight. Am I right? There's so many seasoned Christians here. Isn't it an ongoing fight? We don't want to sugarcoat this, because Jesus isn't, and I'm not going to either. But to take that literal, I guess if you had the mentality, oh, never mind, I'll move on. I wouldn't say once saved, always saved, and then you don't ever have to worry about it. I wouldn't say that. Maintaining your Christian walk and to have a sharp cutting edge to you requires discipline. And you have to cross the finish line. You have to have the mindset that Jesus said in John 12:25. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life will keep it unto life eternal. That's got to be your mindset. Lost on us today. Okay, on to divorce. Verse 31. Remember, this is going to be an impossible teaching, just like the others. Impossible without the help of the Holy Spirit. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you, what'll it be this time? What an impossible task is he going to lay on me now? I can't do these things. Are you able to do them all? How are you batting, Ty Cobb? You're in the dugout now, behind me. I'm batting zero without the Holy Spirit to help me. Zero. I'm batting zero. This stuff is good for us. It helps us see we need a Savior and we still need help. And you're not there yet. You haven't crossed the finish line yet. You still need work. And I need it. We got to stay in the Word of God. Stay at the feet of God. Say no to sin. We still need work. I'm batting zero. I don't know about you. Y'all can get behind me. Maybe there's a couple of 125s in here. Some 375s. Maybe you've got one hit so far out of this lineup. We've got one that loves God with all their heart. Out of 30. Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife for any reason other than sexual immorality, the one legit reason, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Back on context, because that speaks for itself. You're guilty. Well, some people are. A lot of people are. I am. Remember, Jews were getting divorced for just about any reason imaginable. I read the other day that Muslims can now get a divorce with a text message in Saudi Arabia. You can text your wife and say, "I'm finished with you!" Exclamation point. And that's it. You're divorced. A lot of churches and counselors use this verse and this verse alone to counsel people, and I think you better be careful doing this. You've seen the context of this chapter now. Would you counsel people and tell them they're going to hell for using the word fool? No, you wouldn't do that. Then you can't counsel someone and tell them sexual immorality is the only way out of a marriage. There's one counselor in here that'll tell you God doesn't want you in an abusive marriage. I once drove my Mustang in the middle of winter with bald summer tires to Colorado in the snow to help get a friend of mine out of a shelter for battered women, because her husband beat the tar out of her and broke all of her ribs, and her pastor quoted this verse to her and said, "Go home," and read the verse out of Matthew to her. That's not right. So I helped her. We went to Catholic Charities. She got an apartment and a place on her own and got back up on her feet, and then I drove back to Florida. That's what I thought was the right thing to do. Not quote that one verse to her and tell her to go home. God does not want you in an abusive marriage. There's more verses that talk about that. This is designed to have you call out to God, "Help me. I can't do this on my own." Okay, we've got three more groups to look at here this morning. Looks like we're going to come nowhere near chapter 6. The first one, Jesus forbids oaths, verse 33. "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black, unfortunately. But let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. interesting statement, meaning Satan is the one responsible for leading you to make rash oaths that you cannot keep, is what Jesus just said. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything more than that comes from the evil one. For the Christian, no oath is necessary. His yes ought to mean yes. His no ought to mean no. I hate it when people don't take my no for an answer. Like salesmen and car dealers and insurance salesmen on the phone. Oh, do you want this life insurance? No. Well, really, it... No. My no is no. Again, my note here is one of my commentaries is to use stronger language is to admit that Satan, the evil one, rules our lives. There are no circumstances under which it is proper for a Christian to lie. This passage also forbids any shading of the truth or deception. It does not, however, forbid taking an oath in a court of law. Jesus himself testified under oath to the high priest, Matthew 26:63. Paul also used an oath to call God as witness that what he was writing was true. Three times, 2 Corinthians and Galatians. Okay, verse 38. Let's go the second mile. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you. And from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Well, what foreign teachings these were, huh? These went against the grain regarding anything and everything they ever knew or heard. Once again, the Believer's Bible Commentary says Jesus' last command in this paragraph seems the most impractical to us today. Give to him that asks you. And from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Our obsession with material goods and possessions make us recoil at the thought of giving away what we have acquired. Isn't that the truth? Let me say that again. Our obsession with material goods and possessions makes us recoil at the thought of giving away what we have acquired. However, if we're willing to concentrate on the treasures of heaven and be content with which things that we have, we would accept these words more literally and willingly. Humanly speaking, such behavior as the Lord calls for here is impossible. Only as a person is controlled by the Holy Spirit can he live a self-sacrificing life like this. Only as the Savior is allowed to live his life in you can insult, injustice, and inconvenience, those are the three there, verse 39, 40, and 41, only as the Savior is allowed to live in you can insult, injustice, and inconvenience be repaid with love. This is the gospel of the second mile, made possible by Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the only way to do this. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. You can't do this on your own. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's how you do this. You can't do it on your own. You can't do any one of these on your own. But when you let Christ live through you, sky's the limit. One last section, loving your enemies. Verse 43, you heard that it was said, love your enemies and hate, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say to you to love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Do good to those that hate you. Pray for those that spitefully use you and persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what more do you have than others? Do not even tax collectors do that? All right, now since everyone here at Island Community Church has got that down pat, and everyone on the radio and on the podcast, we'll let Jesus leave us with one final verse here. Verse 48 starts with the word therefore. Therefore, you also be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. And this is where you stand this morning. Maybe, hopefully, you say, I can't stand. I can't do this. I can't live like that. You see, these things are designed to show you that you need a Savior because you can't be perfect. You can't live a perfect thought life. You need help. And he's here to give us help here today. Church, you can be the kind of person that Jesus desires. But first, you need heart surgery. Then, God will change you. That's how we do this. I quoted the verse to you a minute ago, Galatians 2:20. Here's one more verse that came to mind this morning, and then we're done. And that is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says this. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How can you be this kind of man or woman that the Lord just showed us? Number one, realize it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is no longer you who live, but it's Christ who lives in you. When you let him live his life through you, you can do this. And also, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Spend time in this book. Read your Bible. Let the Bible, remember, Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. This book is alive. When you spend time in it, a miracle happens. God turns you into the kind of person that will come and take your jacket, you'll give him your shirt. When someone asks you to walk a mile, you'll go with them too. Because God does a miracle work in you when you spend time in this miracle book. And that's the only way to do this, is to be like John the Baptist, who said, he must increase and I must decrease. Let's pray.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.